Eventually, in some way, they must redress the wrongs they perpetrated on others. This they must do to restore full positive energy to themselves. Subjects who are familiar with damaged souls explain to me that not all of the more terrible memories of bad deeds are erased. It is known that if the soul did not retain some memory of an evil life, it would not be accountable. This knowledge by the soul is relevant for future decisions. Nevertheless, the resurrection of the soul in the spirit world is merciful. The soul mind does not fully retain all the lurid details of harming others in former host bodies after treatment. If this were not true, the guilt and association with such lives would be so overpowering to the soul they might refuse to reincarnate again to redress these wrongs. These souls would lack the confidence to ever dig themselves out of pits of despair. I understand there are souls whose acts in host bodies were so heinous they are not permitted to return to earth. Souls are strengthened by regeneration with the expectation they can keep future potentially malevolent bodies in check. Of course, once in our new body, the amnesiac blocks of certain past life mistakes prevent us from being so inhibited we would not progress. There are differences in the regeneration process between moderately and severely damaged souls. After listening to a number of explanations about kinds of energy treatments, I have come to this conclusion. The more radical approach of energy cleansing is one of remodeling energy, while the less drastic method is reshaping. This is an oversimplification because there is much I don't know about these esoteric techniques. The fine art of energy reconstruction is handled by non-reincarnating masters who are not in my office answering questions. I work with the trainees. Case 20 will provide some insight into the mechanics of energy reshaping, while Case 21 will address remodeling. Case 20, my subject in this case is a practitioner of chiropractic and homeopathic medicine who currently specializes in repolarizing the out-of-balance energy patterns of patients. This client has been a healer for thousands of years on Earth and is called Selim in the spirit world. Dr. N. Selim, you have told me about your advanced healing group in the spirit world and how the five of you are in specific energy training. I would like to know more about your work. Would you begin by telling me what your advanced study group is called and what you do?
S. We are in training to be regenerators. We work to reshape, to reorganize, displaced energy in the place of the holding ground.
Dr. N. Is this place a designated area for souls whose energy has been disrupted?
S.
Yes, the ones in bad condition. Those who will not be returning to their groups right away. They will stay in the holding ground.
Dr. N. Do you make this determination at the gateway to the spirit world?
S. No, I do not. I have not yet reached that status. This decision is made by their guides, who will call upon the masters who are training me.
Dr. N. Then tell me, Selim, when do you enter the picture after a severely damaged soul crosses back to the spirit world?
S. I am called by my instructor when it is felt I can assist in this energy healing. Then I move to the holding ground.
Dr. N. Please explain to me why you use the term holding ground, and what this place is like.
S. The damaged soul is held here until their regeneration is complete so they are healthy again. This sphere is designed as a beehive structure, covered with cells. Each soul has its own place to reside during the healing.
Dr. N., this sounds very much like the descriptions I have heard about the incubation of new souls after their creation and before they are assigned to groups.
S., that's true, these are spaces where energy is nurtured.
Dr. N., so, are these beehive spaces all in the same place and used for the same purpose, both for regeneration and creation?
S., no, they are not. I work in the place of damaged souls. Newly created souls are not damaged. I can tell you nothing about those places.
Dr. N., that's fine, Selim, I appreciate learning about those areas where you do have knowledge and experience. Why do you think you were assigned this sort of work?
S. With pride, because of my long history in so many lives of working with wounded people. When I asked if I could specialize as a regenerator, my wish was granted and I was assigned to a training class.
Dr. N. And so when a severely wounded soul is returned to the holding ground, are you a soul who could be called to assist? S. Shakes his head negatively, not necessarily. I am only requested to go to the regeneration areas to work with energy that has been moderately damaged. I am a beginner. There is so much I don't know. Dr. N. Well, I have a great deal of respect for what you do know, Selim. Before I ask you about your level of work, can you explain why a damaged soul would be sent to the holding ground? S. They were overcome by their last body. Many are souls who have been repeatedly suppressed in previous lives as well. These are the ones who become stuck in life after life, making no progress. Each body has contaminated them a little more. I work with these souls more than the ones who have had terrible energy damage, either from one life or many lives. Dr. N., do the souls whose energy has been gradually depleted ask for help, or are they forced to come to the holding ground? S. Promptly, no one is forced. They cry for help because they have become totally ineffectual, repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Their teachers see they do not recover sufficiently between lives. They want regeneration. Dr. N., does the same cry for help come from souls who have been severely damaged? S. Pause, perhaps less so. It is possible that a life is so destructive it has damaged the identity of the soul. Dr. N., such as being involved with cruel acts of violence? S. That would be one reason, yes. Dr. N., Selim, please give me as many details as you can about what happens when you are called to the holding ground to work on a case with severely depleted or altered energy. S. Before meeting the new arrival, one of the restoration masters outlines the meridians of energy we will be regenerating. We review what is known about the damaged soul. Dr. N., this sounds like you are surgeons preparing for a procedure with X-rays before the operation. S. With delight, yes. This gives me an idea of what to expect in three-dimensional imagery. I love the challenges involved with energy repair. Dr. N., okay, take me through this process. S., from my perspective there are three steps. We begin by examining all particles of damaged energy. Then these dark areas of blockage are removed and what is left, the voids, are woven with an infusion of new purified light energy. It is overlaid and melded into the repaired energy for strengthening. Dr. N., and does reaving energy mean reshaping to you, as opposed to something even more radical? S., yes. Dr. N., are you personally involved with all phases of this operation? S., no, I am being trained in the first step of assessment and can assist a little with the second step, where the modifications are not as complex. Dr. N., before you actually begin to work, what do you see when a soul's energy has been severely damaged? S. Damaged energy looks like a cooked egg where the white light has solidified and hardened. We must soften this and fill the black voids. Dr. N., let's talk a moment about this blackened energy. S. interrupts. I should have added that the damaged energy can also create lesions. These fissures are voids themselves, caused by radical physical or emotional damage. Dr. N., what are the effects of disrupted energy on the incarnated soul? S. Pause, where the energy is mottled, not distributed evenly. This is due to long-term energy deterioration. Dr. N., you talked about rearranging and repairing old energy with new purified energy for healing. How is this done? S. By intense charge beams. It is delicate work because you must keep your own vibrational tuning in matched sequences with that generated by the soul. Dr. N., oh, so this becomes personal. A master's own energy is used as a conduit. S., yes, but there are other sources of new purified energy that I don't use or know much about because of my lack of experience. Dr. N., Selim, you have told me how warped energy is softened and allowed to flow back onto the right spaces, but introducing new purified energy concerns me. With all that reconfiguration, aren't you changing the immortal identity of these souls? S. No, we have altered. To strengthen what is there, to bring the soul close to its original form. We don't want this to happen again. We don't want them back. Dr. N, is there some way you can test your repair work after it is completed?
S, yes, we can place a field of simulated negative energy around the regenerated soul, as a liquid, to see if this can filter through the structure of our repairs.
As I said, we don't want them back.
Dr. N, one last question, Selim. When you are finished, what happens to the regenerated soul?
S, it varies. All of them stay with us a while. There is healing with sound, vibrational music, light, color. And when these souls are released, much care is taken with their next incarnations and the selections of bodies, size. If the soul has been in a body that damaged others in former lives, well, we have fortified these souls to go back and begin again. My next case is an example of severe remodeling. Case 21 involves a particular class of soul, one called the hybrid soul. In Chapter 8, Case 61 is another representative of this type of soul. I believe the hybrid souls are especially prone to self-destruction on Earth because they have incarnated on alien worlds before coming here fairly recently. There are hybrid souls who have great difficulty adapting to our planet. If I find this to be true, it is probable their first incarnation here was within the last few thousand years. The others have already adapted or left Earth for good. Less than a quarter of all my clients are able to recall memories of visiting other worlds between lives. This activity by itself does not make them hybrids. An even smaller percentage of my cases have memories of actually incarnating on alien worlds before they came to Earth. These are the hybrid souls. The hybrid is usually an older soul who, for a number of reasons, has decided to complete their physical lives on our planet. Their old worlds may no longer be habitable, or they may have lived on a gentle world where life was just too easy and they want a difficult challenge with a world like Earth that has not yet reached its potential. Regardless of the circumstances for a soul leaving a world, I have found these former incarnations typically involve life forms which were slightly above, about equal, or slightly below the intelligence capabilities of the human brain. This is by design. Hybrid souls who have formerly incarnated on planets with civilizations possessing a much higher technology than Earth, such as those with space travel abilities, are smarter because they are an older race. Also, I have noticed that when I do have a hybrid soul as a client with former experience on a telepathic world, they tend to have greater psychic abilities than normal. Sometimes a hybrid client will confuse their early incarnations on other physical worlds with being on Earth until we sort out that their first world only resembled a place on Earth. Visions of once living on the island nation of Atlantis is a good example. Without discounting the possibility that Atlantis once existed on Earth thousands of years ago, I believe the source of many earthly myths come from our soul memories of former existences on other worlds. I think hybrid soul is an appropriate term for those souls among us of mixed incarnation origins. Such souls have developed from being in hosts that are genetically different than humans. I have seen gifted people in this life who started their development on another world. Nevertheless, there is a dark side to this experience, as a level V subject in training to be a restoration master will explain. Case 21, Dr. N, since you work with the severely damaged souls, can you give me a little more information about your duties? S, I'm in a special section working with those souls who have become lost in a morass of evil.
Dr. N, after learning this subject works only with those souls from Earth who have incarnated on other worlds before they came to Earth. In this section, are these the hybrid souls I have heard about?
S,
yes, in a restoration area where we deal with those who have become atrocity souls.
Dr. N, what a terrible name to call a soul.
S,
I'm sorry you are bothered by this. But what else would you call a being associated with acts of evil that are so serious they are unsalvageable in their present state?
Dr. N, I know, but the human body had a lot to do with,
S,
cutting me off. We don't consider that to be an excuse.
Dr. N, okay, then please continue with the nature of your work.
S,
I am a second stage restorer.
Dr. N,
What does that mean?
S. When these souls lose their bodies, they are met by their guides and perhaps one close friend. That first stage does not last long, and then the souls who have been involved with horrible acts are brought here to us.
Dr. N. Why doesn't the first stage last as long as with other souls?
S. We don't want them to begin to forget the impact of their deeds, the harm and pain they caused on Earth. The second stage separates them from the uncontaminated souls.
Dr. N. This sounds like you are running a leper colony.
S. Abruptly, I am not amused by that remark.
Dr. N. After apologizing, you are not saying that all souls who commit evil acts are hybrid souls, as you define them?
S.
Of course not, that's my section. But you should understand some real monsters on Earth are hybrids.
Dr. N. I thought the spirit world was a place of order with masters of superior knowledge.
If these hybrid souls are contaminated abnormalities in human form, souls with the inability to adjust to the emotional makeup of the human body, why were they sent here?
This indicates to me the spirit world is not infallible.
S. A vast majority are fine, and they make great contributions to human society. You would have us deny all souls the opportunity to come to Earth because some turn out badly?
Dr. N. No, of course not.
Let's move on. What do you do with these souls?
S.
Others, way above me, examine their contaminated energy in light of just how the world of their earlier experience impacted on their human body. They want to know if this was an isolated case, or if other souls from that planet have had problems on Earth. If that is true, other souls from that world might not be permitted to come to Earth again.
Dr. N., please tell me more about the section.
S., my area is not devoted to souls who have committed one serious act of wrongdoing. We work with habitually cruel lifestyles. These souls are then given a choice. We will do our best to clean up their energy by rehabilitation, and if we think they are salvageable, they are offered a choice to come back to Earth in roles where they will receive the same type of pain they caused, only multiplied.
Dr. N., could a salvageable soul be one who committed terrible atrocities in life but showed great remorse?
S. Probably.
Dr. N., I thought karmic justice was not punitive?
S. It's not. The offer represents an opportunity for stabilization and redemption. It usually will take more than one life to endure an equal measure of the same kind of pain they caused to many people. That's why I said multiplied.
Dr. N., even so, I suppose most souls take this option?
S., you are mistaken. Most are too fearful that they will fall again into the same patterns. They also lack the courage to be victims in a number of future lives.
Dr. N., if they won't come back to Earth, then what do you do?
S., these souls will then go the way of those souls we consider to be unsalvageable. We will then disseminate their energy.
Dr. N., is this a form of remodeling energy, or what?
S., yes, we call it the breaking up of energy, that's what dissemination means.
Certainly, it has remodeled. We break up their energy into particles.
Dr. N., I thought energy could not be destroyed?
Aren't you destroying the identity of these contaminated souls?
S., the energy is not destroyed, it is changed and converted. We might mix one particle of the old energy with 9 particles of new fresh energy provided for our use. The dilution will make that which is contaminated ineffectual, but a small part of the original identity remains intact.
Dr. N., so, the negative badness energy is mixed with overdoses of new goodness energy to render the contaminated soul harmless.
S. Laughs, not necessarily goodness but rather freshness.
Dr. N., why would any soul resist dissemination?
S. Even though those souls who accept these procedures for their own benefit recover and eventually lead productive lives on Earth and elsewhere, there are souls who will not stand for any loss of identity.
Dr. N., then what happens to these souls who refuse your help?
S. Many will just go into limbo, to a place of solitude. I don't know what will eventually happen to them. As I have said before, soul contamination does not only come from the physical body. Certainly, The energy damage described in the last two cases indicates that souls themselves are impure beings who also contribute to their own distress. Before continuing, I want to make a statement about karmic choices here that is important for all of us to keep in mind. When we see people who are victims of great adversity in life, this does not necessarily mean they were perpetrators of evil or wrongdoing of any kind in a former life. A soul with no such past associations might choose to suffer through a particular aspect of emotional pain to learn greater compassion and empathy for others by volunteering in advance for a life of travail. There are cases when a soul's energy damage is moderate, requiring special attention, but not to the degree where a restoration master is needed. The following quote is a report from a client about a gifted healing soul who works at a recovery station. I think of her as a combat nurse managing a field hospital, and my client agrees, "Oh, it's Numi, I'm so glad. One haven't seen her in about 3 or 4 lives, but her deprogramming and restoration energy techniques are just superlative. There are 5 others being attended to in this place whom I don't know." Numi comes over and clasps me to her. She gets inside me and blends my tired energy with her own. I feel the infusion of her stimulating vibrations, and she performs a tiny bit of reshaping. It is as if I am receiving a gentle reaffirmation of that which created my own energy. Soon, I am ready to leave, and Numi gives me a beautiful smile, "Goodbye till next time." Souls of Solitude. In the last chapter, one explained how certain dysfunctional souls who have just experienced physical death leave their bodies and go into seclusion for a time. They are not ghosts, but they don't accept death and they don't want to go home. The low percentage of souls in my practice within this category are at an impasse with themselves. Their major symptom is one of avoidance. Eventually, they are coaxed by empathetic guides to return to the heart of the spirit world. I called them the souls of silence. I also mentioned that it is considered a part of normal activity for healthy souls in the spirit world to engage in periods of quiet time away from others. Besides reflecting upon their goals, souls may use this interval to reach out and touch people they left behind on Earth. However, there is another category of silent soul whom I see as a soul in solitude as opposed to a soul in seclusion. It may seem as if I am splitting hairs here, but there are major differences. Souls who wish solitude are healthy souls who have been through the recovery process, and yet they still strongly feel the effects of negative energy contamination. Here is a case in point. After every life, I go to a place of sanctuary for quiet reflection. I review what I want to save and integrate from the last body and what should be discarded. Right now, I am saving courage and getting rid of my inability to sustain personal commitment. For me, this is a place of sorting. What I decide to keep becomes part of my character. The rest is thrown off. Only a certain type of soul engages in this activity for a prolonged period. Often, they are more advanced souls who are more reflective if they are alone. This type of soul might be a natural leader who is drained of energy by defending other people. One such soul of this class is Akam, who is a soul devoted to causes for the betterment of others, often at his own expense. Case 22, in this subject's past life he fought against the final subjugation of Morocco by the French military and was captured in 1934. As a resistance fighter, my client was taken from the Atlas Mountains into the Sahara Desert and tortured for information he did not give. After being staked to the ground, he was left to die a slow death in the hot sun. "Dr. N. Akam, please explain to me why you require such a long period of solitude after your life in Morocco." "S. I am a protector soul and my energy has still not recovered from the effects of this life." "Dr. N. What is a protector soul?" "S. We try to protect those people whose innate goodness and intense desire to better the lives of large numbers of people on Earth must be preserved." "Dr. N. Who did you protect in Morocco?" "S. The leader of the resistance movement against French colonization. He was more effective in helping our people fight for freedom because of my years of sacrifice." "Dr. N. This sounds demanding. Do you usually work with political and social movements in your lives?
S. Yes, and in war. We are warriors for good causes.
Dr. N. What attributes do protector souls have as a group?
S.
We are noted for our enduring perseverance and calmness under fire while assisting others who are worthy.
Dr. N. If you challenge those who would seek to harm the people you want to protect, who decides if they are worthy?
It seems to MC this is a very subjective thing.
S. True. And this is why we spend time analyzing in advance where we can best be utilized to help people. Our work can be offensive or defensive in nature, but we do not engage in any aggressive action lacking principle.
Dr. N. All right, let's talk about your energy drain after these endeavors. Why hasn't the shower of healing or some other restoration center returned you to normal?
S. Laughs, you call it a shower, I call this the car wash.
It's an undulating tube which rubs you all over with positive energy, like the brushes of a car washington. I just took a few of my young students through it from the last life and they feel great.
Dr. N. So why didn't the car wash help you?
S. More serious, it was not nearly enough, although the negative impurities are essentially gone. No, the core of my being has been affected by the cruelty of that life and the torture I endured.
Dr. N. What do you do?
S. I send the students away and go to the place of sanctuary where I can fully connect with myself.
Dr. N. Please tell me all you can about this place and what you do there.
S. It is a darkened enclosure, some call it a slumber chamber, where there are others resting, but we do not really see each other. I sense there are about 20 of us now. We feel so washed out we have no desire to relate to anyone for a while. The keepers attend to us.
Dr. N. Keepers? Who are they?
S. The keepers of neutrality are skilled at non-interference. Their talent lies in ministering to us with absolutely no intervention into our thoughts. They are the custodians of the slumber chambers. Note, apparently, the keepers of neutrality are a subspecialty within the ranks of restoration masters. They have other names, but neutrality means they facilitate healing indirectly without any communication. My clients say these beings are devoted to absolute quietude for souls in their care.
Dr. N. What do these passive custodians look like?
S. Tersely, they are not passive. The picture I can give you is one of monks moving about a sanctuary. The keepers have cloaks and a hood over their faces so they present no identity to us. Their thoughts are closed, but they are very watchful.
Dr. N. So they simply watch over you while you rest?
S. No, no, you still don't understand. They possess great skill in ministering to us. Their concern is the proper regulation and infusion of the energy which we have stored in the spirit world before going into a physical life.
Dr. N. I have heard a great deal about this attribute of the soul to divide itself. Why can't you just go to your own spiritual area and take the rest of your energy and meld with it? Or why not have a team of restoration masters regenerate your contaminated energy?
S. Takes a deep breath. I'll try to explain it. For us, all that is unnecessary. It is the effects of the impurities which we want healed by a slow, even return of our own purified, rested energy. The keepers assist us in the restoring of our own energy.
Dr. N. Rather like getting a blood transfusion from your own blood bank.
S. Yes, exactly. Now you are beginning to comprehend. We don't want it in a rush. We don't need major restoration either. We receive slow energy infusions of our own energy over a prolonged period for greater elasticity. We want the strength we had before a rough life, and more, from having gone through the physical experience.
Dr. N., what's a prolonged period of time in Earth years for your recovery in this sanctuary?
S. Oh, that's hard to say, 25 to 50 years. We would always like it to be longer because the keepers use their own vibrational frequencies to massage our energy, which is fantastic. They are very private beings though, who don't want to be seen or spoken to, but they know we are grateful for their care. They also know when it is time for us to rejoin our friends and get back to work.
Laughs, then we are pushed out. It was from cases such as these that I learned one of the best ways to repair damaged energy is to receive it back slowly.